if you do, well, you'll, if you, yeah. Yeah. It looks like you'll be able to.
Yeah, I don't have tickets, but they took my name, but then I came over here.
Oh, that's great. Okay, maybe afterwards you'll come by and share what you saw.
Thank you very much for having me.
That'd be wonderful. Tell us your name again.
My name is Mark.
Mark. Yes. I'm Neva.
Neva, it's a pleasure to meet you, ma'am.
A pleasure
to meet you,
Phyllis.
Yes, and we'll talk soon.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cool.
Okay, folks, it's
Bye,
2
twin
o'clock.
Ponies.
We'll see you soon. Have fun.
My name is Celeste from Catskill, New York, and you're listening to WGXC Acra 90.7 FM.
En la Biblioteca Pública de Catskill, nos gusta mucho tener programas del equipo de WGXC viniendo de la biblioteca desde el cuarto Carnegie. Para información en cómo utilizar el espacio para una reunión suya, llame por favor 518-943-4230.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to health care and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations, which is aired on the third Tuesday of each month from 2 until 3 p.m. on WGXE Acre 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's show will feature our guest from, wait for it, 2013.
Wow.
That's how long we have been gone. Martin Berwick.
Thank you. Right out of the time capsule. Nice to be back. Thank you.
Yes, folks, we have suspended our normal show and we are doing a pledge drive. So we're going to chat.
The Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive.
Yes.
It's radio.
Just
everywhere.
Everywhere.
And you know, that's actually true because radio waves really are everywhere.
Really?
They're cutting through the air, cutting through us, everything, all the time.
Is one going through Mark's face right
it
now?
It is. It absolutely is.
I can feel it.
Radio waves.
So welcome, folks. Sit back for an hour of lively discussion, banter, and hilarity.
And also, please donate.
Yes, and donate. Shall we practice, Mike?
Let's do it. WGXC is currently in the midst of the Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive with a goal of $25,000. Please support community radio by donating online at wgxc.org/donate. Pledge by phone at 518-697-7400.
That's 518-697-7400.
That's correct. Or mail a check.
Golly. Checks?
Some poor bloke that doesn't have the means to go to the website or use a phone and still has to mail a check.
I know. That's so 90s, isn't it?
It's very 90s. It's very, very 20th
When's the
century.
Last time you mailed a check, Mike? Mike? Mark?
The other day.
The other day?
You're so 90s.
It is 2018, Mark. Come on. Nah, I'm mail checks and stuff too. But if you want to mail a check, just make it payable to WGXC/O. Wave Farm, 5562 Route 23, Acre, New York, 12405. And if you didn't quite get that, we'll be coming back to it as the show progresses.
Now, how much should one donate? Now, if you earn £150,000 a year, or $150,000 a year even, then just donate a fraction of it. A fraction of that could be $100. If you earn $40,000 a year, a fraction of that money could be $10. So why not forgo a pizza tonight? Forgo a pack of cigarettes. Be good for your health. So just whatever you can give, give.
And it goes to a great cause. You know, WGXC is committed to providing community access to the airwaves and serving as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement. Listener contributions are an essential part of this lean operation, and we hope you consider WGXC an asset to your own quality of life and of importance to the communities that we strive to serve.
And I'm not a narcissist or anything, but, you know, this radio station serves as a platform for things like Catskill Cabin Conversations. You know what I mean?
Which is, I think, a pretty great show.
What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. It was it was a terrific experience.
Yeah, did you enjoy being on the show?
I did, yeah.
And that was, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah, it's been...
Wow.
It's hard to believe.
So what's been happening in your life since 4 years ago? I know that we changed your life by coming on the radio, so...
It was five, right? 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Because it was in the winter of... you're right. No, it was four.
You guessed it, folks.
Because it was December.
Mike doesn't teach math.
No, because it was December. No, yeah, because we haven't gotten to December yet. Okay. Four and a half years.
Mark, what have you done in 4.5 years?
I've continued to enjoy my career at teaching.
Yeah, where do you teach?
Yep, up in Wyndham.
Yeah, all of it or just a little bit of it?
Wyndham Ashland Jewett Central School.
Right.
And, yeah, been up there. This is my 11th year.
Wow.
Yep.
But 11 years teaching.
Was where I met Mike and where he invited me to be on the show. And so...
You were our second ever guest. You listened back to that show.
who was your first?
Bono.
Okay.
Yeah.
A guy called Chris Hack.
Wow, imagine following Bono.
I know. yeah,
you had the better show.
I managed that.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris Hack, who owns the spinning room.
Yeah, I don't know if he still does. I mean, when's the last time we spoke to Chris Hack?
A radio show.
Back in 2013?
November 2013.
Yeah.
Gosh, it seems like it was yesterday. But it wasn't.
So anyway, before we come on the show, I contacted you, Mark, and I contacted you, Mike.
Yes.
And I said, make up two questions to ask, right? And don't tell us until we're actually doing the show.
Okay.
Have you got your two questions,
Mark? I do.
Can you want to ask one?
I would. I would like to ask you one about the show itself.
Yeah.
Of all the guests that you've had on, if you could have one back to expand a little more on one particular aspect of that person's visit, who would the guest be, and what would you ask them to
Mark and Berwick. Mark and Berwick.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened to that guy.
But you know, that's a good question, and actually I think something that happens a lot when we record... Frequently, we record a 60-minute show, and it gets to be 50, 55 minutes. We've maybe played the last song. We're coming down to the end, closing things up, and then I realize, wait a minute. We were going to talk about this one thing, you know, this one trip that you took, or this hobby that you have, this thing you were going to build, this thing you were going to do, and we've run out of time. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times we'll record a show, and it'll end up being... 70 minutes, 80 minutes long, and we'll have to edit it down to 60. And so stuff has to get cut out, and it's great stuff.
Right.
You know,
there's also times when, you know, like a guest will tell us something off mic that we can't really put in the show because it might libel somebody, or it's maybe adult material or something. Or maybe they don't want it in because it might offend somebody or something.
Right.
But it's a really intriguing piece of information. So that happens as well, you know. You end up having conversations beyond the show, you know.
I imagine doing what you do and imagine that happening if I was to have someone on and then not to think to ask a little more about something and that person would get away and you've lost the opportunity.
You know, and sometimes we start talking about something and you... As Mike was saying, you want to ask something, but you get taken in another direction.
Right.
And you say, I wanted to ask him that or her that, and I never get the chance.
Right.
And then they leave, and you've not seen them for a while. Yeah. You know?
And I get, you know, we haven't really answered your question, but I struggle right now to think of a single time, you know, one instance where I wanted to bring up a particular topic. I wanted to hear more about something that happened with a guest, but I do know that it happens kind of frequently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a question.
Okay.
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 If the next candy bar that you have was to be your last before you draw your last breath.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
What would the candy bar be?
Probably the Kit Kat bar.
The Kit Kat? Yes. See, that was quick there.
Yep.
You know, that was definitively quick. So you must love Kit Kat bars.
I do. Yes.
Yeah. So
that's the one I reach for if I'm going to make a choice.
What's the Kit Kat bar mean to you, Mark?
Well,
I bet you never thought you were going to be asked that in a show tonight, did you?
You might not think my answer is too exciting, but if there was a candy bar out there that would do me the least damage in terms of my nutrition and eating habits,
Mark,
I would say it
before,
would be
on, before you go any further, all candy bars are bad.
Right? Yeah, give me a break, Mark.
Oh, no. You're struck off.
Yeah, no, it was more of kind of along the lines of personal attention to my health and so forth. I've been changing the way I've eaten, eating the last, several years. And so that was one of the things that I changed was I don't just eat anything anymore. I am selective, but I enjoy eating it. They're delicious to me. And
right. Okay. So, Mike?
You know, I tried to come up with something clever and witty about a candy bar that maybe means eternal life, or you get to keep. Is there a candy bar with a name like that?
The Eternal.
Is there a witty response to candy bar? Yeah,
I know one. What'd you call it?
Boo.
No, eternal life.
I think just because if it's your last candy bar, eat something that's going to make you live forever, but. I think I would probably go with a Butterfinger.
A Butterfinger?
I loved them when I was a little kid. When I go out and get ice cream, sometimes you can get like the flurries or the cyclones or whatever, any ice cream.
Yes.
Ice cream with the candy mixed up.
Yes.
Vanilla ice cream with Butterfinger candy is amazing. Yep. I could eat a gallon of that.
Yep.
And then I would probably die, and it would be my last candy bar.
You know, I kind of say the word butter the way you guys say it.
Butter.
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 There's an R in there, Andy.
Butter.
Butter.
Butter. My favorite, I gave this some thought, obviously, right? Now, I love Cadbury's milk chocolate, and sometimes I like to deviate from the bar and have like a one with caramel in it, or one with fruit, or one with nuts, or whatever, right?
Right.
Was that the ice cream van?
Oh my gosh, they're here. I'll be right back. I have to get a Butterfinger flurry. It's my last one.
Get a Kit Kat. So I decided that the common theme out of all these bars is the actual Cadbury's milk chocolate. Mm. So my final bar would be a big Cadbury's milk chocolate bar.
Okay.
Because I'm addicted and I'm in love with Cadbury's chocolate.
That's really good. It is really good.
So, there you are.
Yeah, I appreciate the chocolate.
I only tried those once. Yeah, I never...
Cadbury's chocolate?
Yeah. What do they have? What's in them? I don't recall.
But I'll tell you what. We'll tell you once we do another plug for the show.
Okay.
And the radio station. So, Mike, hit it.
Folks, we are in the middle of the Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive with a goal of $25,000. Please support community radio by donating online at wgxc.org/donate. Pledge by phone at 518-697-7400. Or mail a check payable to WGXC, C/O, Wave Farm, 5562, Route 23, Accra, New York, 12405. Catskill Cabin Conversations is on community radio, and to keep shows like this going, donations are really critical. And
we're trying to raise $25,000.
Yeah,
we're doing really well, but we need people's help. People who listen to the show, people who want to contribute. We have loads of fantastic shows, shows that are politically driven, shows that are musically driven,
yeah,
talk shows, kids shows, and it truly is a community radio station. So please, please, if you can, give us your cash. Don't eat that burger tonight. Don't feed the children. Don't feed the dog. Give us your money.
Good heavens, man. No, disregard all of that. Give what you can, but take care of the essentials.
Yeah. Buzz.
Now, I have a question. It is my turn. You know, because this is the Radio Everywhere pledge drive, I got thinking about radio, and I wanted to ask you guys, what was the first radio that you ever owned? What was the first radio that you ever owned? Now, if you need a minute to think about that, I believe my first radio that I ever owned was an Iowa stereo.
In Iowa?
Not Iowa, like the state. In Iowa, like the speaker company.
I know, but, I'm busting your chops.
Oh, Andy. it was great. It was this really great boombox. You know, back in the 90s, these Iowa stereos always had these big kind of these faces with blue lights and meters and animations.
Yeah, I remember them.
Light up your bedroom a lot of bass and some pretty good sound. But I think that was I couldn't remember if it was that or if it was the Kenwood stereo that I bought for the Chevy S10 that I bought for my dad. My first car.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Well, see, when I was a kid, it was like, I remember back as like to the age of say 5, which would have been like 1974, and that was the time when mums and dads were buying these all encompassing. It was a record player with a radio in it.
Yes,
I don't remember anything like the make or anything. I always remember the smell of the records, the vinyl, and sometimes we'd play the radio and like the Sunday morning and listen to the oldies and stuff. So that's as far back as I remember.
Were they these larger furniture like?
Yeah, they were like brown furniture like cabinets.
Yeah, they were common.
Yeah, that was my earliest. Yeah.
Big old radio.
Mm-hmm. Big old radio.
Radiation King 500.
Well, I've said this in another show, right, but... a lot of people years ago, obviously soccer's massive in Europe and in Scotland.
It is?
You just busted my chops back.
Yeah, how do you like it, Andy?
No ice cream for you tonight. And, you know, a lot of people would take these handheld radios to the, you know, and Lynn's probably listening to this show right now. And we talked about it with Lynn Sloniker when she said she used to lie in bed and listen to the baseball. You know, guys used to take these radios to the soccer and listen to other games on the radio so that they could be the first to shout in the crowd, the opposing team that, you know, is getting beat, that another team has just scored, and then that would emanate through the crowd, you know, that rumour. And they would call these, they were called transistor radios, but they were called trannies. For sure.
Right? It's different now.
And you'd all these guys standing in the crowd with their trannies, you know? Which I find ironic, you know, given today's society we live in.
Different things.
So it means something different to be standing somewhere with your tranny.
Yeah.
So
I was going to ask a question and now I've completely blanked.
Why is that?
You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, folks. We are in the midst of our Radio Everywhere pledge drive, and as Mike informed us, these waves are everywhere.
Yeah. They are. Radio waves everywhere. It's really fascinating. And there's a whole, you know, the government kind of controls the radio spectrum because all the devices that use radio waves, right, they can't all use the same frequency of wave. There are different frequencies. So if they're using the same thing, then it doesn't work because all the signals get all mixed up. And this is actually a problem that I have, you know, places that have a lot of houses, a lot of Wi-Fi signals, a lot of Bluetooth devices. You have a lot of devices that are kind of competing to be heard, to hear each other if they're communicating using similar frequencies, and then you get an interference and the devices don't work as well. But you go out into the middle of the woods, like if you have Bluetooth headphones, you go into the middle of the woods where there's no signals, Bluetooth headphones will work fine. But you run through a neighborhood where there's a lot of this, you know, wireless traffic, they may not work that well.
I was in the middle of trying to plug the radio station, and you're giving us a thesis.
Well, I think it's kind of fascinating. You know, and by the way, for any listener who's like, why don't my wireless speakers work at home? What is the problem with these things? That might be it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
The radio question you asked about my first radio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry, Mark. I never got to you. Sorry. My apologies.
Okay. No, what you said about listening to sports
was
the reason. It was just a simple tabletop clock radio. It was an Emerson brand that a lot of young people probably had. And I got it to listen to the baseball games. But the radio reception was always so poor where we lived. So I had
on Bound Street.
That was after I moved up here. the radio reception on Bound Street would have been outstanding. Being in that area, in a metropolitan area like that, you get the very best of radio performance. But when we moved to this area, we had very, very little in terms of television and at that time. And also,
interesting.
Yeah, and so I remember setting that radio and listening to the, not being able to get a game on TV, heard it on the radio.
Right.
And that was...
Right. And a lot of times I would listen to soccer games on the radio because they weren't on the TV as well, you know.
And I really didn't find that I missed anything, hearing it rather than seeing it.
Yeah.
The announcing and those describing the games were so good at what they did I could see it all in my mind as I listened. I didn't feel like I missed anything.
That's something that's lost nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I think I may have been wrong. You reminded me, Mark, as we were talking about this and Lynn listening to the radio and Mark having a little handheld and stuff, I remembered spongy headphones, kind of spongy headphones, earphones you can stick in your ears. And I remember that when I was a little kid in the 90s, I think it was in the 90s, that Dick Tracy movie came out with Warren Beatty and Madonna. And they had, you buy enough cereal boxes, you send in the labels or whatever, you get a little Dick Tracy watch, and it was a radio. And I remember hoping, oh, cool, maybe you can talk with this thing. And it's like a walkie-talkie. And when I was a kid, I had walkie-talkies, and I thought that was so amazing. And I remember our family took a trip to Washington, D.C., and we were in multiple minivans, and we were trying to talk using walkie-talkies, and it didn't work at all. Not because there was so much wireless activity, but because the technology was primitive and terrible. And but having this kind of cool little watch radio and kind of dreaming about the future, maybe one day you'll be able to talk to somebody with your watch. How cool would that be to send and receive messages and phone calls and stuff? And bam.
And look where we are.
It's here.
Look where we are.
Dick Tracy's for real.
Now, one thing I need to mention about this pledge drive, pledge everywhere, is that contributions that you donate to us are tax deductible. Yes, WGXC is a program division of Wayfarm. As such, our contribution is tax deductible to the fullest extent of the law, unlike most Indiegogo or Kickstarter campaigns.
Yes, it's true.
So there you are. Just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah.
Again, our telephone number, folks, is 518-697-7400, or you can donate online, wgxe.org/donate. Or you can send a paper check by snail mail.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, at this time in our progression as a society, you cannot donate via airwaves.
Like, what do you mean airwaves?
Like radio waves through the skies.
Well, you kind of can. If you're on your phone and you press donate, that's going through the radio waves.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was internet.
That is radio, though. Yeah, your cell phone is a radio transmitter. That's how it communicates with the towers and then satellites or whatever.
Am I having an idiot moment?
No. No, this is all really, really complicated stuff. I mean, something fascinating. Sorry. The GPS in your phone, right? That's using signals from satellites traveling overhead. You'd think, it's just simple triangulation, right? A squared plus B squared is equal to C, whatever. No, because satellites passing overhead are further from the Earth and experience less gravity, and they're traveling faster than us, so they experience time differently. So if the calculations on your global position were made based on the device's perception of those satellites, it would be incorrect because of space and time. So they have to use Einstein's relativity equations in the devices, and it works. When you run the math through Einstein's equations, you get your actual place on the Earth.
That is amazing, actually. I must admit.
And you know, using these radio waves and things like that. So,
is it true that the satellites are responsible for changing the times on our devices now?
I would say so, yeah.
These phones, you can't...
You don't have to put the clocks back and forward anymore.
No, it's all automatic.
And is it the satellites that play a part in that?
I don't know if it's that. Like, I don't know.
I miss that.
I would be making... Yeah.
I miss having to put the clock back. Gives you that sense of taking part in it.
I thought I read an article about that, but I can't remember exactly how cell phones are... How we sync our phones... You know, like, what is it based on? Like, right. Is there an atomic clock in some college that keeps super perfect time and everything syncs to that? You know, I don't remember.
I bet you the old folks in the studio, like Neva and Lynn, I bet they still put their clocks back.
We should get rid of the whole spring ahead and fall behind. Daily savings time. Oh, my gosh.
We're getting sacked.
Although, I heard, you know, but then I read an article that, like, tons of people like it. I have never... spoken to a single person that was like, oh, thank heavens for daylight savings time. That is just the greatest invention ever.
Well, sometimes you go to your bed at 12 o'clock and the clock's going back and all of a sudden it's 11 o'clock and you get an extra hour.
Okay, so fall behind is great, but then spring ahead is horrible.
Yeah, that's garbage.
I think what people notice it is the light, right?
Yeah. It's also brighter earlier. So you're in the fall when you fall behind, right? Lighter earlier, and that's when I think far fewer people are up. I think you're better off having it be lighter later. Yeah.
People who work outdoors for a living say that when the days get longer, they get deceived and they continue to work longer than they should, and they become more tired. They've been deceived by the light and they go longer than they typically work.
That's what I was thinking tonight. I was getting those cheeseburgers and the fries going and I'm like, well, we got tons of time. The night is still young. It's 7 o'clock.
We're the idiots who need to drive home. WGXC are having a radio everywhere pledge drive. So please don't buy that 6-pack of Coca-Cola. You thought I was going to say beer. Don't buy that pizza tonight. Help us out. Give us $10. If you can afford it, $5. Every little bit counts.
Help us to reach that goal of $25,000.
Yes.
And you can donate, as Andy's saying, by going to wgxc.org/donate, pledging by phone at 518-697-7400, or by mailing a check payable to WGXC/O Wave Farm, 5562 Route 23, Acre, New York, 12405.
Because after all, you've got to keep shows like Catskill Cabin Conversations on the radio, haven't you?
Yeah.
Because we are above average, at least.
It's been a tremendous amount of fun. And, you know, as something I think of an historian, what a privilege to do this, where we get to interview people and talk to them about their lives and their interests and their joys and their experiences. And we're, you know, kind of getting to document history. It's a... kind of a privilege. Yeah. It's an amazing opportunity.
Talking of history, that leads me to my second question. Hmm. Now, my second question is this. Now, I spoke to a colleague in work, and she helped me, Becky helped me come up with this question.
Okay. Right?
And she gave me her answer. And I'll tell you what her answer was once I give you the question. The question is, if you could go back in history... And I've just outed Mark because that was his second question.
Absolutely.
All right, hold on. I'm going to give you the stage. Go.
Okay. I was thinking in terms of something I was talking with someone about called Golden Age Thinking.
Right.
Which is the idea a person carries that they would be happier in a time other than the one that they live in.
Right.
Yeah. And so if you could go back to another time, that's where I think you were going.
A specific place in history.
What time would you go back to? I can't believe that.
Right. So did you think about it for yourself?
Yes.
Right.
And so I also wanted to know what...
Right. So I'll give you... Well, first of all, it was Becky in my office this morning. She said that she would like to go back to the time of when the suffragettes were coming to prominence and starting to rise up.
Yeah.
And she would like to have been there.
Okay.
I said I would like to have been on the bridge walking with Martin Luther King Jr. across the bridge.
Yeah.
I would love to have been there making that walk.
Yeah.
So that's where I'd like to have been.
So you've had a specific event you interested in.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Very noble. Uh-huh. I would have loved to have seen the Constitution written, the Declaration of Independence, been able to talk to, the founding fathers, Alexander Hamilton in particular. I know that's kind of cliche now, but I maintain that I liked Hamilton and thought he was awesome before the rest of the planet did because of the eponymous musical.
I can bear witness to this.
Thank you.
This is true.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I was preaching about Hamilton before diapers or something. People were forgotten more about Hamilton.
Before waves were cutting through us from radios.
But they were just a really remarkable and unusual group of people. And, they were predominantly, white men, somewhat of privilege, some of them. Which is, unfortunate. But if you look at history and you look at revolutions and people that are responsible for starting nations, they were weird. Yeah. They did an amazing job. They were, by and large, I think, as an historian, generally selfless in this, particularly Washington and even Jefferson and Adams. These are guys that really just wanted what was best for America. Other historians would disagree with that, but
and they come up with such a simplistic set of principles, and to me it's so difficult to come up with something that is so unique and profound in its simplicity. It's very, very difficult to do that. That's why they're few and far between, songs and literature and
What
amazed me. Moments in history and time.
Yeah.
What amazed me about that is this, how many protections they built into those ideals.
Wisely.
Thinking about the future, about what could happen. There was so much thought that went into it.
Yeah.
The flexibility of the amendment process and the elastic clause and the Bill of Rights and judicial review, the ability of the Supreme Court to interpret laws. These are all like genius mechanisms built into our government that despite the frustration of democracies and republics and how slow and painful they can be sometimes, it really works well. And I say the founding fathers also, I have to admit that it was not a perfect time. These guys are owning slaves. Women did not have the right to vote. Native Americans were brutally mistreated. There was a lot of racism and sexism and poverty and inequality. And it was not a perfect time, but I think that would have still been something fascinating to see in a group of people that would have been fascinating to meet.
But no time is perfect, is it?
No time is perfect.
In 150 years' time, people are going to look back to things at this period in time and say what an amazing achievement that was. But it still wasn't perfect at that moment. And then they'll list some of the things that are
these
fracturing
people,
our society at the
moment. They were flawed for these reasons and those reasons.
Yeah.
And,
Mark?
This is difficult to answer because I enjoy history as well, studying it and looking at it. And I've always enjoyed automobiles, so I'll pick the 1950s. The
Beach Boys.
The automobiles. The designs of automobiles, they just reflected so much. They were just works of art, and it reflected so much enthusiasm in the designers. That forward-thinking age of dreaming and imagining space was designed into these vehicles. When you look at the late 50s, a car is a rocket on its side with the tail fins that flare out and the...
Do you ever go to car shows in the areas?
I used to do more than I do now. I don't have as much time now as I used to, but I used to frequently go to them. And so
maybe we could go in the summer. We can maybe go to a car show, and you can maybe teach me some things that you know, because I love cars.
Yeah.
as well.
The shows go on everywhere. There are many towns they go on.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting commentary on human tastes and human perceptions, the design of the car, right? Like, you can look at a car, and there's something about it that either makes it look amazing or makes it look terrible. and there's just something, you know, for example, I was thinking recently about the shark face kind of front profile of a car where the hood portion sticks out further than yes. the grill, you know, like the old school 60s Mustangs and the newer mm-hmm. reboot of the Mustang.
Yep.
Something about that Dodge Challengers, mm-hmm. it just looks good. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that is. It just looks powerful, and it looks...
is that the definition?
It looks like it wants to eat everything coming up the street.
Yeah. And
is that the definition of a muscle car?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I think probably one of the defining features is that it has to have that kind of profile.
Yeah.
But, cool.
Yeah, I love going to car shows, so maybe we could go to a car show together.
I had a global... That'd be fun.
Yeah.
My global studies teacher in high school, Mr. Dawson, said he grew up in the 50s, and he had a buddy. I think he was out in California. He had a buddy that had some souped-up hot rod sports car, mm-hmm. and this friend would, like, paperclip pin a $100 bill to the dashboard, and he would be at a stop with somebody in the passenger seat, and he would say, I'm going to accelerate and go through the gears. If you can grab that $100 bill before I get to, you know, fifth gear, whatever, the top gear, it's yours. And he would lay on the gas and the acceleration, the forces would be so great, the person wouldn't be able to lean forward out of their seat to get the money.
That's funny.
That's what he told us.
They were also very bold with colors in that period. You look at the pinks, the color combinations, the tones,
right.
pink and black, gold and yellow and black. And
yeah.
And today we have, I've never seen so many shades of gray. You got silver
yes.
and gunmetal and charcoal, and they're so drab. You know,
yeah.
they're just not... they're not bold with
colors. You know, I think we're so saturated with media and technology nowadays that people's... things don't excite people as much anymore because they're so saturated with images and, you know, whereas in the 50s, that was something to behold.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm talking through my backside.
Well, I think you're true to some degree, and I think, too, that the style of car now is drifting toward an understated... sophistication.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants this Lexus with that's streamlined and you know, we don't want all the panels and the things sticking out and parts right. and bulges and we want some smooth, sleek,
it's true.
Mean looking car with an understated color that speaks about sophistication and wealth and
well I'll ask
for
a question.
For some reason.
Do you think in 60 years time people will be having shows showing cars from today?
Oh, probably.
Yeah,
maybe not. I don't know.
Because the cars, to me, most of the cars are normalized in terms of there's nothing unique anymore.
Yeah.
There probably is, but I'm just not seeing it.
It's hard to say. The one thing that they've advanced tremendously on is the durability of the engines.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the rest of the car, the cars are almost built to be disposable. So I really, in 60 years, I have a hard time imagining some of these cars being made of material well enough to restore and be around. And,
right. Yeah, yeah.
But the engines now, they're you know, back in the 50s, you were lucky to get 50,000 out of an engine. But today, you can get 100, 150, 200 out of them.
Is that's true? 50,000 miles out of an engine?
In the 50s, an engine with 50,000 miles was burned out.
Wow.
Yep.
Didn't know that.
Yep. 60,000. You'd be lucky. As a matter of fact, if you found an old car that you wanted to pick up and work on, that's usually what it said on the odometer. It was somewhere in the 50s, 60s range. And it was in the junkyard, a dead vehicle.
Wow. Yeah.
Oftentimes.
That's interesting.
Well, the oils weren't as good then. The oils are better
synthetic
today.
No, and
the material the engines are made out of, there's more aluminum, less cast iron. And
It does seem unlikely that in 50 years someone's going to be like, oh, look, a Pontiac G5. That was based off the Chevy Cobalt, right? Oh, cool.
I don't know.
That was the car that I owned, by the way.
It's possible, but I had one of these.
Hard to believe.
This was mediocre. It was great.
An Omni.
Yeah. My dad had a Dodge Omni. Dodge Omni. Good gas mileage, I guess.
That's right.
Like this really great overdrive on the highway. Just like sip thimbles of gasoline as it went.
What era was that? The 80s?
The 80s, yeah. I remember crawling to the back of that thing when I was a little kid.
Dodge and Chrysler had a whole series of cars that were economy. One was the Reliant, Plymouth Reliant. They were economy cars.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, folks, we are in the midst of the Radio Everywhere pledge drive with a goal of $25,000. Please support community radio by donating online at wgxc.org/donate, pledge by phone at 518-697-7400, or mail a check payable to WGXC/O Wave Farm, 5562 Route 23, Accra, New York, 12405.
Give as much as you can or as little as you have. It doesn't matter. Every single little bit helps. Please call in and keep shows like Catskill Cabin Conversations on the air. We need your support. We need your help. Please give generously.
Really, listener support is vital to the station's survival. Community radio is informative. It's intelligent. It's stimulating. It's broadening.
It's funny.
It's funny. And, in a lot of ways, it's a family. You know, you have people coming together because they enjoy it, because they get something out of it. And they're either providing a service to the station, providing a show, or they're listeners. And so in a lot of ways, we're really in this together. And we can't do this without you, the listeners, and without your donations.
So make that tax-deductible pledge. Help us out. Keep things like fact-based shows, independent reporting, news, you know, all different types of shows, funny shows, music shows, informative shows.
Yeah. Music.
Music.
Yeah.
When you get a car show on the on the air.
Cars with Mark.
Cars with Mark. That's Mark and Berwick, not Marks on a car.
Yeah. Right. Cars with Marks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mark, if you could have any car in the world, what would it be?
Yeah. I've had quite a few, but one I have not had that I'd like to have would be a 55 Chevy Bel Air. I've never had one of those.
Ooh, that sounds big.
Yeah, just a simple sedan, a two-door hardtop or a post sedan.
Cool.
Just a beautiful style.
Would you like one that's needing some work so you can put your own stamp on it?
Good question. Yeah, absolutely.
You're a plumber, aren't you?
Yes.
Have you ever thought about building a bathroom in your car? Just for emergencies or something. A sink to, you know, wash your hands while you're driving and
just
stuff.
Just because he has multiple disciplines and hobbies doesn't mean he has to come find them into some weird...
I can get out of it long enough to take care of it.
Mark wakes up one morning, I've got it. Bathrooms in cars. This is what will change the world.
Would that be a biofuel?
Yeah. The front seat is like so you can take these 15-hour drives without moving.
Ew.
This has kind of already been done with mobile homes or motor homes, right?
Yeah, so that's true. Great book that I've talked about. I borrowed it from you, Travels with Charlie.
Yeah.
John Steinbeck.
Yeah.
Right? John Steinbeck travels all over the United States, and I think this was back in maybe the 50s. Yeah, it was during the Civil Rights Movement.
It was his autobiography.
Yeah, and, it talks just about America and meeting people, but he takes a little kind of camper thing, mobile home that he's designed. He's towing behind his truck.
Who is this?
John Steinbeck.
Okay.
Yeah, Travels with Charlie, his little dog.
That's right.
John Steinbeck,
yeah,
of Grapes of Wrath. John
another guy.
So it was, you know, he was.
I know, I just had to confirm it. But
he was kind of.
I better know who that is.
It's actually Stevie Steinbeck. It's not.
Same idea, but he was. He was published at this point and had been successful, and I think he was kind of nearing retirement age, maybe, and he wanted to travel the country. And so he built himself a little, like a camper, before campers were available. I don't know if it was a trailer or what, but he had maybe a little kitchen in there and a bed. And, and he traveled the United States and spoke to people and had this really wonderful trip. And, you know, he talks about how you don't think about it, but in the course of a day when you're driving all day, it seems simple. You're just sitting in a car, but every time you look in a mirror, every time you look over your shoulder, you move the wheel, you're exerting yourself physically, and he talks about how exhausting it is. And, you know, he had such a great experience talking to people and meeting people all over America. The book ends kind of sadly because it's getting to
spoiler
the...
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Do you want... Should I spoil it? I don't know. If
no.
Don't spoil it.
Don't spoil it because he's going to read it now.
You're going to read it?
I want to read it?
I might.
I'll
let you read it.
No, you're off in the summer, so read it.
Yeah, definitely.
It's well worth it. You know, a great insight into America.
The reason it got my attention is because it started to sound, and this is maybe an extension of that, the David Isay StoryCorps project. Are you familiar with that?
No, I don't think so.
A book came from it called Listening is an Act of Love. And if I got the story right, what he did was he outfitted an Airstream camper and created a little recording studio inside of it and traveled the country. And he invited people along the way to invite someone else into the recording studio to interview. And these phenomenal stories came out of it. A young man, for example, invites an uncle into the recording studio and interviewed him, an uncle who had spent time in prison. So he asks him in an interview style, asks him questions, and the uncle tells his story. And it was one of these cautionary tales, don't do what I did kind of story.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Another Korean girl invites her grandmother in at another point and asks her grandmother how she met her grandfather. And so you learn through that a whole of another whole culture of how people meet and...
Yeah.
Incredible stories, and then were transcribed.
What was the name of that book?
It was transcribed into a book called "Listening is an Act of Love,"
right?
And it's the first, I believe, is over 10 years old now, maybe more. And then there's been others to follow.
Interesting,
but that sounds so much like what you were describing. Although, you know, getting a taste of what, but meeting people and the incredible stories they have to tell.
And speaking of listening being an act of love, so is giving. And WGXC is currently in the midst of the Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive with a goal of $25,000. Please support community radio by donating online at WGXC.org/donate or by calling 518-697-7400. I'll mention the address later. All right, I'll mention it now. You can mail a check payable to WGXC, C/O, Wave Farm, 5562, Route 23, Acra, New York, 12405. I have another question for you, gentlemen.
Go on.
You ready? Let's say, hypothetically speaking, you have somebody coming to visit the Hudson Valley. They're coming to visit you, and they only have a brief time, a day, maybe a weekend. They want to do something fantastic. What do you do in the Hudson Valley? And this is it. You got a day, maybe a weekend. What can you do?
One day?
Just one. So basically the one thing. If you could only do one thing with a person, what would it be?
So you cannot travel very far.
Anywhere in the Hudson Valley. The Catskills.
Hudson Valley and the Catskills.
You know, capital region maybe down to Poughkeepsie.
I'll say maybe. Can I say something?
Yeah.
A day where you go on a hot air balloon or a glider. And
do they have those around here?
Yeah, gliders, yeah.
Ooh.
There's actually gliders not far from your house. And there's also one down by, as if you're heading towards Middletown. You go on a glider there. Or there's a balloon. So go over the Hudson and be able to view the Hudson Valley up to the Catskills and the Adirondacks, not the Adirondacks, but the Catskills and all that, and see the wonders of the area from the air. And then you can come down and go for a multitude of walks and meet multitude of people on numerous walks like over the Hudson Bridge and stuff like that, right? And that's the first day. And then the second day, you can go on numerous shows in WGXC 90.7 FM and talk about it.
Yeah, that's true.
And have it saved in time.
Maybe call in. If you don't have your own show?
Yeah, or you can. You probably know somebody who has a show, or if you actually call up, you can say, I want to talk about this.
Yeah.
And you probably get on a show.
Yeah. That would be great.
Well, tastes will play a part in that. We've been talking about a lot about history tonight. So if we didn't have to go far and we didn't have a lot of time to spend, I might go over to Route 9. And if you go down Route 9 is the Vanderbilt Mansion,
yes,
where you can spend time touring that. There's incredible architecture of that place, but also the scenery of the river there.
Hmm.
You can spend the day there. It's a park. And you can go a little bit further down and you have FDR House and Library, and there's always seems to be some kind of an exhibit. They just had an exhibit there of World War II posters, original authentic posters.
Wow. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So there's so much, and it's I realize, I think I do, take it for granted. I've always lived around here, but there's so much around here to see. And if you live here, you probably take it for granted. But I think coming from...
And you can go up to Alana as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Alana, yeah, that's beautiful.
But some beautiful historical sites to see. If someone likes history, they wouldn't be disappointed in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's the area where, you know, the great painters of the area...
Right. Hudson River School.
The Hudson right. River School, mm-hmm. that's right. You know, in that basin... Of the, you know, what do you call it? I mean, you go up the mountain to go to Catskills. There's that.
Oh, the Natch.
The basin no. there where so much of the landscapes were painted.
Yeah. Like Catterskill Falls.
Yeah, or, yeah, 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 Catterskill, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, that is amazing. Thomas Cole. And I think, you know, I think back to the first time my wife came out to visit before we got married. And we did like a whole... day full of, we drove into the Catskills, we went up a chairlift, we ate at a few different restaurants, we went on a hike, you know, try to hit all the key, kind of all the great things of the northern Catskills. Anyway, that's what I would do.
That's what you would do?
That's what I've done.
And it's memorable, it's superb, it's beautiful, and there is a chance you're going to see a bear, you're going to mm-hmm. see, you know, some great wildlife, or maybe a... you know, an eagle or something.
You could,
you know?
Bald eagle.
So, you know.
They've got them around, absolutely.
Good question.
There's enough around now that you will see one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I was driving in the thruway about a month ago and I saw a dead bear on the side of the road.
No. Oh. Yeah.
Looked like a yearling or something.
Yeah, that was poor
sad.
Guy.
That was sad. So, yeah.
We've talked about that in the past. One day, we're going to have animal crossings over highways, like they're experimenting with this in Canada. And
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be kind to the animals.
Yeah, they don't know. They just don't understand. Poor things.
Meanwhile, in the Catskill Falls, they're holding a conference.
Yeah. Guys, what have we said about crossing the road? Don't go near the road.
Go near the road?
Oh.
So, Mark, have you asked two questions?
I did.
Have I asked two questions?
Yeah. I've asked two questions.
I actually asked your question. You had.
That's right. That's what it was. One. Yeah. Well, we're nearing our mark, aren't we?
We're getting there.
We're getting
there. We have a few more minutes left in this Pledge Drive show, radio everywhere. This is a time of the year where we're collecting donations. I suppose we're doing that all the time.
We're doing it frequently throughout the year, but you know, it's regardless of when we're doing it, it's important that people recognize that. You know, they can play a part in keeping the radio station functioning and going. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you've got $5 to donate or $10 or $500. Every single dollar counts.
You know, and even $5 a month for a year. You know, $5 a month, that's not too bad, not too big an impact. But over a year, that adds up to 60, and that's really helpful to the radio station. And you get... You know, a few people that do that, what a huge difference.
$180.
Well, let's see. Well, a few. Yes, yes. If a few people, but you know, how many people listen to this station?
Exactly.
If you can get 100 people or 500 people to do it, that would make a huge difference. Just $5 a month from that many people, and you can do that by calling up 518-697-7400 by going online to wgxc.org/donate or by sending a check payable to WGXC/O Wave Farm, 5562 Route 23 Acra, New York 12405.
Mark, I think you want to say something.
Yeah, well, one thing that I wondered since the time I was here, one of the questions that you ask are regard songs that the guest will bring. And I always wondered if anyone asked you what were some favorite songs of yours.
Well, there were very memorable songs. You know, we
interviewed each other, didn't we?
We interviewed each other, and we chose our own favorite music.
Oh, I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, for a couple programs, and I chose Appalachian Spring. That's like one of my most favorite songs ever.
Right, and you chose the Superman theme.
Superman theme.
Okay.
I chose a song called Runaway by Del Shannon.
Okay, you're familiar with it.
And I also chose, Paper Lace, Billy, Don't Be a Hero.
Okay.
And that was kind of a thematic of the Civil War, that song. So that was two of the songs I chose, and I chose a song by a band called Squeeze. I can't remember the name of the song, right off the top of my head.
Mm.
And Chris Rea's On the Beach.
Yeah.
And when you did this interview, you talked about their meaning.
It sounds narcissistic. We were talking about ourselves, but it was in a way just to kind of introduce ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. And
for people listening to get to know us.
Right.
So. Yeah. And if listeners are interested, they can go to WGXC.org and stream just about every show we've ever done.
Yeah.
Since the winter of 2013.
Yeah. And we can listen to Mark's show. Mark, you know, I'm not just saying this because you were here. I really enjoyed your show.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, we had a good laugh, and I remember your songs was one of them was an old 50s number.
Ricky Nelson,
Lonesome Town. I liked that song, and you also had More Than a Feeling.
Boston's More Than a Feeling.
Yeah.
So, and you had a song that was
Claude Debussy.
Claire de Lune.
Yes.
Claire de Lune. Yeah. It was one that was played in the church.
Oh, okay.
Remember you said that they'd played that.
Oh, yes.
You played it in the church.
Well, your memory's very sharp.
And that was a great piece of music.
We've really been fortunate. Really, every single guest has been outstanding. I've enjoyed every show.
Don't lie.
The editing process is great. Yeah, really, go back.
We struggled with a couple.
You know.
No naming names or anything, but.
Okay. You,
a bit like George Patterson, for example.
You know, George. Okay, that was
Lynn Slonica. Sorry, Lynn. I'm only kidding.
We also need George for the music. Sorry, George.
I've listened Thomas to Reed. Now, there was a phony guest.
Andy's brother.
I have listened to some of those shows, so that is a good way to go back and catch them.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And, you know, and that's the great thing about WGXC, too, is maybe you're not catching the programs live. You can oftentimes just go on and stream them.
Yeah. And, you know, what I think is interesting, see if you go back to like the very first couple of shows, you hear how we were kind of greenhorns. Oh, now you listen to like more up-to-date shows where we've digressed.
A little more.
We've kind of slumped into a...
Kind of off-topic?
Yeah, we're kind of... Bad, but worse, haven't we?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Well, it's for the listener to decide, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. The original Mike and Andy were way better. I don't like how they've changed.
We had cigarettes and booze then, and we've cleaned the rack up.
Well, we've just about come to the end. It's been great. Again, for the listeners... we're in the middle of the Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive. With a goal of $25,000, please support community radio by donating online at wgxc.org/donate, by calling 518-697-7400, or by mailing a check payable to WGXC, C/O Wave Farm, 5562 Route 23 Acra, New York, 12405. And you can donate and get a tax deduction.
You can. Now, before we go, please empty your pockets. Get your hands down the back.